Then Kepha, or Peter, said unto them, Repent, and be immersed, every one of you, in the name, it doesn't matter what name, no, he said, in the name of Yahweh HaMashiach, in the name of the Messiah, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Ruach HaKadosh. Be immersed, you shall receive the gift of the Ruach HaKadosh. Yes. And that's just for the men, right? Well, let's read. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as Yahweh shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation or crooked generation. Who said that? Peter did. Also in 1046 and 19:1, if you could save my place. I'm not going to do a whole study here on immersion, but it would be really neat to read these. I do want to save my place. For they that heard them speak with tongues and magnify Yahweh, then answered Peter, Can any man forbid water that these men should not be immersed, which have received the Ruach HaKadosh as well as we? So here, in this particular instance, the Gentiles that were having to do with Peter there, they had already received the Spirit, but they hadn't yet been immersed. And he commanded them to be immersed in the name of Yahweh. Then they prayed that he would tarry several days. Acts 19, verse 2, and he said unto them, Have you received the Ruach HaKadosh since you believed? So first of all, they believed, but they hadn't received the Spirit here. And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Ruach HaKadosh. And he said unto them, Unto what then were you immersed? So they must have been believing at that time they were immersed. And it was unto John's baptism. Then Paul said, John verily immersed with an immersion of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Yahawahosha, Messiah. When they heard this, they were immersed in the name of Yahweh. No, they sat around and argued and said, Well, we don't have to do this or that or the other because of this or that. No, when they heard it, they were immersed in the name of Yahweh HaMashiach. They were just like you. They were obedient. I don't know why I'm always running into people who resist everything in the scripture, you know, anything that comes along. Well, you know, you don't want to go too far that way or this way, or, you know, you don't want to go into an extreme with obeying Yahweh. But you were not that way. So are there any other? Yes, there is one other. Ezekiel 18:30. Have you ever noticed how it says here in Ezekiel 18:30, if I have made the right reference again? And we'll just double check that right now and see. 18:30 says, Therefore I will judge you, O house of the Hebrews, everyone according to his ways, saith Yahweh. Repent and turn yourselves from all transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Cast away from you all your transgressions, you know, all your breaking of the Torah, whereby you have cast away from you all your transgressions whereby you have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will you die, O house of the Hebrews? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith Yahweh, the leader. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live ye. Repent, repent of sins. Great. Wow, what a great chapter there. Ezekiel, talking about the abomination all the way through there. What a powerful. Romans 14, verse 8 through 12. For whether we live unto Yahweh. And whether we die unto Yahweh. Whether we live thereof or die, we are Yahweh's. For to this end, Messiah both died and rose and revived, that he might be master, it says here L-O-R-D, master both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Messiah. For it is written, As I live, saith Yahweh, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to Yahweh. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to Yahweh. Hang on a second, I'll get to Psalm 19, but Psalm 84, How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Yahweh of hosts! of armies, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts or the villages of Yahweh. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living Yahweh. By the way, in a previous program, I talked about the definition of pots there in Zechariah 14, and it basically just came out bowls and pots, pots, you know, and so on. So I didn't get any farther, but the word courts there actually can mean villages, other cities and places where feast keepers, for example, where other feast keepers would be. So I don't know if that makes any sense to anybody there. If you remember that we went through Zechariah 14 and Nehemiah or Nehemiah, we referred to the, we read about and in there the word courts, which could mean a lot more than, it's not just a court in some kind of a encampment or enclosure or something. It could mean villages. Well, you could have a village within an enclosure, but anyway, that was kind of interesting to read a little more in depth in my concordance about the inner meaning of, the deeper meaning of some scriptural terms. Psalm 19 does say, where it starts out, the heavens declare the esteem of Yahweh, the firmament showeth his handiwork day unto day, uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Verse 7, the law of Yahweh is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of Yahweh sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of Yahweh are pretty close, but they're not quite their bondage. No, it says the statutes are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of Yahweh is fairly clean. No, it's pure, enlightening the eyes. Well, partially anyway. No, it's enlightening the eyes, period. The fear of Yahweh, well, we don't want to, you know, we just respect him, right? No, the fear of Yahweh is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of Yahweh, Exodus 21, those laws, the judgments of Yahweh are true and righteous altogether. The privileges are true and righteous. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. There isn't any reward of keeping them. No, it's bondage. I heard it on the radio. They said that keeping the judgments and the statutes, the commandments, if you're not just trusting in Yahweh's finished work on the tree of Calvary, then you were into bondage. If you were out keeping the Sabbath, it said on the radio that, and on the television that it was bondage. But, here I found in my scriptures that it says that there is great reward. So there's an inconsistency somewhere. The guy on the television must, you think he's right? No. This word is final. This is absolutely the truth. It's absolute truth. Who can understand his errors? Because Yahweh cleanses thou me. He cleanses me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Shall I? Then I shall be upright and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Yahweh, my strength and my redeemer. Then during the feasts, we also want to be aware of the covenant, Hebrews 10:16. And then we also want the women to be instructing women and hopefully the children even. Hebrews 10:16 is a repeat of chapter 8. As far as the covenant is concerned anyway, and it's also a repeat of, I think it's Jeremiah 31:31 in the book of Jeremiah, you know. Hebrews 10:16, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith Yahweh. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. So it was Ezekiel 36:26. Oh, and it's also Jeremiah 31:33. I like the Ezekiel one because if you keep reading after that, it says, and I will put my spirit and make a new, you know, give you a new spirit. Well, that's the verse that the Protestant radio preacher likes to read, but he doesn't read the one before that. Yahweh's going to put his laws into our hearts and minds where we can remember them, not forget them, but that we can hopefully do them. With his nudging, And with me, with Stefan Yah, Yavin's got to do some heavy nudging. He's got to really interfere. He's going to have to interfere some more here. I'm telling you, things are really tough lately. I mean, they're tough, but they could even get tough here. Titus chapter 2, the older women are teaching the younger women the spiritual things, including having a family, cooking, sewing, how to be decent. But it says here to be decent and keepers at home. Titus chapter 2, as we're looking in verse 13, for that blessed hope and the magnificent appearing of the great mighty one, our Savior, Yahusha, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, all lawlessness, and he might purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of great works. These things I speak, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. And it said there in the verse 1, speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Sound doctrine. In other words, really basic, strong, sound doctrine. Strong doctrine or sound doctrine. That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith and charity and patience, or love and patience. The aged women likewise. Now, where do you see this, that the older women are doing this? That they may be in behavior as becometh, it says here, holiness, but pureness, not false accusers. Wow. Not given to much wine. The Greek word 4183, wine. Teachers of good things. 1 Timothy 5, verse 10. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet. Now there's that area I was talking about the cleavage. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. Woe, that the word of Yahweh be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded and all things, showing yourself a pattern of good works and doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. Oh, I'm so impressed with our mature young men, you know, that are, when I say man, it could be somebody who's 6 years old, but very impressed how some of you young guys are really growing and you're putting us to shame. Because when I was that age, well, I wasn't saved, but so I didn't really have a good balance in life or direction. I didn't have that, but today we see these young men being very mature, and they're not going around doing a bunch of silly things that often, if at all. Revelation 18, during the Feast of Tabernacles, we can talk a little bit about behavior during the feast, but some and most assemblies these days are ignoring the beautiful Feast of Tabernacles. The message is that as if we were there, as if we are standing there in New Jerusalem today, and you can feel the cool breeze, it's just the right temperature. For example, Jerusalem or Hawaii in their appropriate seasons, but for example, Hawaii, I don't know if there is any bad season there. Is there the turbulent season there, stormy season? But, when it's just temperate, just really nice. So imagine yourself there, or being in the mountains in the summertime at this present time. How beautiful it is, how fragrant it smells, how everything is so clean. The earth is so fresh, especially the first of the year after Passover, the first of these years, and it's just so beautiful. So that's the theme that we should be really emphasizing during the Feast of Tabernacles. If you were inspired to go out and do your own website or book or tape or something, if you're a minister of the Word, then that's what I would do for the feast, is prepare messages to get people encouraged about the Feast of Tabernacles, about the second coming of Yahweh, about how it's going to be during that marriage supper of dining with Yahweh, that thousand-year millennium. Oh, what a time! Yes, Yahweh will have such fellowship with him, and it's just be all the time and everything perfect, is to my understanding, and yeah. But we need to come out of Babylon right now. Revelation 18, 3 to 5. 18, chapter 18. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, of Babylon, of that false system out there, false economic, cultural, and diversity, yeah. And church systems. Not every church is bad now. I mean, we all have our faults, but this is the big Babylon, the Mother Earth Church, you might say. The clean, unclean and hateful birds, it says their birds are still unclean in the newer scriptures. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornications with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Well, what does that mean? That's a long sentence, but that's, you know, especially Christmas time. They are making, that's the big time to make money. Even in Jerusalem, I think it's becoming a practice amongst some Jewish liberal people, amongst new thinkers, non-Orthodox people, to go out and to celebrate the once-a-year thing at the 25th of December, Christmas. And that came out of Babylon, the Babylonish religion. So let's abstain from that. Because I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. Now those are coming. It's going to hit the fan. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and Yahweh has remembered her iniquities. Too bad about that. But thankfully, you know, I was in some very big churches. My first church was the Roman Catholic Church. I was an altar boy, very devout altar boy and zealous, memorized prayers and so on, and took part in the Mass. But I came out of it. Once I heard that you did not have to go to that RCC church to be saved, and you didn't have to obey the leader of that assembly to be saved. Revelation 6, 9 through 11, 6, verse 9. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of Yahweh and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Yahweh, pure and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. And the dragon was wroth with a woman, and went to make war with a remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of Yahweh, and have the testimony of Yahweh HaMashiach. Another good one is 14:11. Just another chapter or two. And the smoke of her torment, of Babylon, that is, the smoke of her torment ascended up forever and ever. That's a long time. And they have no rest day. Oh, that's too bad. We have one every 7 days. Or more, actually. We keep more than 52 days a year. And we keep about 84. They have no rest day nor night who worship the beast, literally worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they again, they are keeping the legalistic people out there who are under the law, because they keep the commandments of Yahweh and the faith of Yahawhosha. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, right blessed are the dead which die in Yahweh. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Uh-oh, there you got works again. Yeah, I told you. That's one of those religions with all that legalism again, isn't it? Huh? It's been a great feast day today, and we hope that tomorrow, or tonight's feast, starting at sunset, will be even more adventurous for you, and that you'll be able to do a lot more than you did today during the feast day. So join us again soon for another great broadcast as we come into your living room, or hopefully outdoors in the Sukkot, or, you know, out in the yard, or hopefully farther yet, off to a feast. You know, Paul says in Galatians 4, I'm afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you my labor in vain. You observe days and months and times and years. I'm afraid of you. You observe days and months and times and years. Is that the feast days? No, he was talking to the heathen. And no, he wasn't speaking of Yahweh's feast days, or he would have been a hypocrite speaking against the law. Isaiah 66 talks about, where the new heavens and the new earth are before me, Yahweh, you know, so shall you come before me, Yahweh says, and you will praise me, Yahweh says, from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath day to another. He talks about the feast days in the future, in the thousand-year millennium, that those who do not go up to the feast days, upon them will be no rain, especially those who have sin in their heart, who have Egypt, Mitzrayim, who still have that Egyptian, not that everyone from Egypt is a really bad person or something. I don't think it's saying that, but as a symbol, the old Egypt, and generally most of the people in those days were under the law. They were not observing Yahweh's ways and feast days and customs. They were doing their man-made inventions. They were, probably a lot of them were, apostate Hebrews who fell into the camp of the Egyptians and just didn't give any more a hoot about, you know, what they did. As long as it felt good, as long as it feels good, do it. But Zechariah 14 talks about that there at the, especially at the end of 14. Jeremiah 7:22 talks about the law that was added. You see in Galatians chapter 2 and 3. Okay. It talks about that law that was added, and talks about the curse and being under the law. What law was added? So we see in Jeremiah 7:22, "For I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt, I didn't speak to them concerning burnt offerings and sacrifices." These things were added, see? The burnt offerings for sin. The slaughter offerings. It says here, sacrifices. "But this thing commanded I them." Here's what I commanded them. He commanded the commandments, statutes, and judgments. "Obey my voice, and I will be your mighty one, and you shall be my people. Walk you in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but they walked in the counsels, the imaginations of their evil heart, and went backward, not forward." Well, they kept their own commandments, statutes, and judgments, just like they do today. So that was Jeremiah 7:22. Ezekiel is the same thing. So Jeremiah 7, or Ezekiel 20:25, if I, yeah, 20:25. And then I know you've got to go. We have about 2 minutes here. Unless I get carried away. 20:25. "Wherefore I gave them also," added, "I gave also statutes that were not good, and judgments whereby they should not live." Aha! So they had statutes that weren't, you mean statutes and judgments aren't good, or are they good or they're not? You know, but no, he added these things. He gave them punishments. Verse 24, because they had not, the verse before that, it says, "They had not executed my judgments, but had despised my statutes and polluted my Sabbaths, and their eyes were after their father's idols, instead of doing it according to Yahweh's statutes." And so it is today. We still don't hallow his Sabbaths, or for a better word, we don't separate the Sabbaths, at least they don't. "And they shall be a sign between me and you, that you may know that I am Yahweh." So there's the sign in verse 20. That's a powerful Sabbath chapter, 20th chapter of Ezekiel. You can see the bad feast days. You can see the good by going to Hosea chapter 1 and then Hosea chapter 12. I can't find Hosea quickly enough, but take my word for it, it's there. And, you know, the first chapter says, "You kept not, you know, your assemblies smell. Take away the names of Balaam out of your mouth, and they shall be no more remembered." I will also, 2, verse 11, I will cause all her mirth to cease, her feast days, her new moons, her Sabbaths, and all her solemn feasts. Now, does that mean the feast that Yahweh gave to the chosen ones through Moses, the law of Moses, the ceremonial law that people want to call that? There's nowhere in there it says ceremonial. I guess you could say that. But Yahweh doesn't divide it up that way. If you go to Hosea 12, then, you get the rest of the story. And I'm not seeing that quickly enough, or am I here? And I, that Yahweh, in verse 9, from the land of Egypt will yet make thee to dwell in tabernacles, as in the days of the solemn feasts. So why did he say in 2:11 that I will not smell in your assemblies, and then turn around and say, I will make you to dwell in the Feast of Tabernacles again? That wouldn't make any sense at all. Isaiah 1:13, bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot. Away with it. It is iniquity. Even the solemn meeting. You mean, he told us to keep the new moons and the Sabbath. Now he's saying to do away with it. It's sin, iniquity? What's this? Now this seems to be a contradiction here. People say that the scripture contradicts itself. This certainly would be one. Isaiah 1:13, the new moon, Sabbath, calling of assemblies. I cannot away, if it's iniquity, even the solemn meeting. And Isaiah 1:14, your new moons and your appointed feast days, my soul hates. They are trouble unto me. I'm weary to bear them. But then, the rest of the story is in the last chapter. We went from the first chapter of Isaiah to the last chapter of Isaiah. And there, of course, you know, there it is. And it shall come to pass that, I'm in 66:23 of Isaiah, that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath, and that could be not only a weekly Sabbath, but it could be an annual Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to praise before me, saith Yahweh. So there it is. There's the word that's written in and stone and black and white ink and paper and everything. So there's just no way for me to get out of it. I'm going to have to keep on enjoying the fellowship here, the food and the fellowship, the bananas, and sour cream, this and that, and bring it on. I'm ready. I'm ready to sup and dine with Yahweh and with his true believers that would be called saints in the King James. We're under the law of Yahweh because we're under the freedom of Yahweh's law. We're Romans 8:7, we are subject to the law of Yahweh. Indeed, we can be. Romans 8:7. I said 1 minute and then I went on, but I quote that for you who are still hanging in there. And then, because the carnal mind is enmity. The carnal mind is enmity. So the evil, the sinful person, we have an enmity against Yahweh, for we are not subject to his law, neither indeed can be. We are not subject to the law of Yahweh or law of Moses. It's interchangeable. Neither indeed can be. But true believers, we are subject. We do not have a carnal mind. We do not have enmity against Yahweh. We still have kind of a, carnal nature still pulling at us, but, testing to break his commandments. On the other hand, we want to release to Yahweh all the blessings of and the healing and the pure spirit of Yahweh. the mighty one who we'll see face to face someday will be a much more better feast reality-wise when we see him face to face and behold Yahweh. Yes. It doesn't mean much out in the carnal world, out in the store there, but out in the villages so much. But here at the feast, we're able to see better, more clearly, how wonderful it's going to be when he says, welcome in. I forgave you of all your sins. I told you I'd do it. And you kept trusting in me. And I kept you. I kept restoring you to proper righteousness and everything. Here is the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Here is the white veil, for your head or wherever. And, the white robes, you put them on. He's putting them on us. He'll put them on us. So praise his name. Praise Yahweh forever. Thank you again. I'd like to hear from you. Hit the contact button and let us know how much this message put you under the law, under bondage, or whether you felt freer as a result of having imbibed in Yahweh's word when he makes up his jewels that day when he will come to collect his people and catch us in the air. Look for him. Maranatha. Alayama. Shalom.